can handle the truth.
Gang, welcome to National Bugle Radio with your host Patrick Slattery, and my guest today on Monday, it is Mark Collette. Mark Collette from Great Britain, how are you today?
Hello Patrick, I'm in a particularly good mood despite it being quite cold and rainy over here, which to be fair isn't particularly something new for the weather in Britain.
for England, yes. Yeah, that is the national climate of England, isn't it?
It certainly is, especially the further north you go, the more rainy, dark and cold it seems to get.
And it is amazing that a climate like that produced the British people who went out and really didn't quite conquer the world, but just introduced the world to the modern era. I think that you could fairly say that, right?
Yeah, I'd say that. I mean, but, you know, hard times create hard men. And I think the climate and the terrain and the sort of living in Britain certainly created a distinct type of people who were not only pioneers and explorers, but were also inventors and industrialists. And all of those things worked together to produce a people that ended up conquering a vast amount of the planet. I believe the British Empire was the largest empire the world's ever known.
Right, and the English language is the lingua franca of the globe.
Oh, indeed. I mean, you know, one of our crowning achievements, whichever way you see it, is, I know America's obviously an independent nation now, but it certainly is Britain's son.
It certainly is. Now, the Our Jewish ruling class is going to the court or to the whatever court it is, the court of history, and trying to have that that relationship annulled and turn us into some sort of multicultural orphan. We're determined not to let that happen. Now, speaking of multicultural and multiculturalism and a Jewish ruling class, indeed. I'm speaking about that. You had a video last week that was published on YouTube and within 75 minutes was already going viral. I know we had put it on davidduke.com. It was getting lots of traffic. And then suddenly, poof, it's gone. And what was that all about?
Well, poof indeed, Patrick. It had well over 800 views in 75 minutes, over 200 likes, and I think nearly 200 comments. It was the fastest growing of my videos, and I was really getting fantastic feedback. And obviously, I went for a little refresh to see how it had done in the last few minutes, and poof indeed, it had gone, and I was presented with a "Can you please acknowledge your hate speech strike?" Now, this was particularly irksome for me, as there was no hate speech in the video. In fact, all of my videos are checked by a fully qualified solicitor, practicing solicitor here in the UK, who is a legal expert and assured me that it didn't break any laws, any of the laws in the UK. So if it didn't break any of the laws in the UK, it certainly wouldn't break any US law, because our laws are far, far harsher. We don't have any First Amendment, and we are very much constrained in what we can say on issues of race or ethnicity. So there was nothing in there that was hateful whatsoever. But what there was in that video was a stinging critique of the current crop of multicultural and multiracial Christmas adverts being pushed by the large corporations. And at the end of this video, I had the temerity to suggest that if people didn't like what's being pushed in that video or in those videos by these large globalist corporations that are all owned by this internationalist clique, then people should go to their sites, to their pages, to where these videos are being hosted, and politely air their concerns to these companies. And they should also consider voting with their wallets. That if people don't like what these corporations push, they don't have to buy from these corporations, and that we can make a difference. We can affect the way these corporations act by cutting off their funding. We can quite simply stop shopping there, and we can give them a thoroughly rotten Christmas, which can make them rethink how they will approach us next year and how they should use their advertising budgets to not push this insidious multicultural agenda.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're talking about the advertising industry, and we often overlook the advertising industry and the influence of it. We'll talk about the media, and when we're talking about the media, we're often referring to the news media. We may be referring to Hollywood or even the music industry. But the advertising industry is all around us, and we tend to discount its influence, perhaps because the advertising industry doesn't because it's more subtle, because it's not as direct about certain things. The advertising industry won't come out and say Donald Trump's a horrible person. They won't say things like that, which the way the news media will, the way Hollywood will. But on certain issues, it's probably much, much more effective because it's so insidious. And what your video did, and I watched your video, is excellent. And you'll have to tell the audience how to access it, because YouTube's not the only game in town. But your video simply reported on the demographic contents and the messaging in these various Christmas advertisements. And so demographically, it was highly diverse, lots of happy Muslims celebrating Christmas, gay couples, other non-whites, mixed white women with black male lovers. It was an awful lot of that. And to the extent you did have white families, they were bumbling idiots. And this is going to sound very, very familiar to TV viewers in the United States as well, even if we don't necessarily have the same stores advertising for Christmas. This is very familiar. This right now we're in the middle of the Medicare season where elderly people have to choose which insurance company they're going to go with for the next year. And I was watching CNN, and during the daytime, it's nothing but Medicare insurance advertisements. And you would think that the country's 75% black, because it's all black. So in terms of accepting multiculturalism, this subliminal messages sent out through the TV commercials, through billboards, magazine ads, all forms of advertisements, I think they're extremely, well, whether they're influential or not, they're certainly going full throttle on them. They're trying to use whatever influence they have. There may come a point where they go too far, too fast, and there's a backlash. What do you think, Mark?
Well, yeah, you perfectly summed up these adverts. I mean, the biggest retailers in the UK are all in on this as well. You have Debenhams, you have Marks and Spencers, you have eBay. The eBay advert was particularly loathsome, but amusingly, that's only got 17 likes on YouTube, but 369 dislikes, so you can see what the public think of that. There was the John Lewis advert, the Morrison's advert, and of course, the granddaddy of them all, the Tesco advert, which you know, so rightly said, featured Muslims exchanging Christmas presents, gay dads with their adopted son, and the big set piece finale was the multicultural mixed race family sat around the dinner table. And obviously every homogenous white family were utter bumbling idiots who were there for either comic relief or to prove that homogenous white families are actually the most dysfunctional of them all and can't, you know, can't enjoy a Christmas day without shrieking at each other. So there you have it. But yes, these adverts, they were all pushing the same agenda. And they make out as if every family in the UK, almost every family, or at least the majority of families in the UK, are mixed race, are, you know, not homogenous white families, when in fact that's not the case. I think there's about 4% of families in the UK that are actually classified as mixed race families. But not so in these adverts. And every love scene, every kiss, you can tell what they're all going to be. For example, the Debenhams advert is sort of a modern day retelling of Cinderella. You know, a black man sat on the train and a fair skinned red haired woman sits opposite him and they're looking at each other and she has to get off, you know, and scandalously she has to get off the train before she's had time to jump on top of him. I mean, you know, how sad, but she drops her sparkly shoe and he picks it up and they give each other the longing looks as the train pulls away. Then the whole world, the media and everyone surrounding this couple use social networks to try and get them back together and reunite them so he can give her the sparkly slipper. And then they end up sharing their interracial kiss in the snow on Christmas Eve. And, you know, you can see all of this, but there are other more insidious tones in these adverts. The Marks and Spencer's advert, the white man in it is a criminal. He's robbing people of their Christmas presents on Christmas Eve. He's going house to house, burgling people's houses and stealing Christmas presents. And he's interrupted in his activities, in his nefarious activities, by the anthropomorphic bear, Paddington Bear, who inadvertently stops him in his tracks and mistakes him for Santa Claus. And then Paddington takes this white criminal on sort of a bumbling trip around town to re-deliver all the presents that he's stolen, thinking he's helping Santa out on his delivery. And the final stop on this journey is where the advert ends. You see Paddington Bear and the white criminal staring, stood outside in the cold, in the snow, staring into this beautiful middle-class home. And lo and behold, it's a white woman with a black man and their mixed-race children. And they're all hugging and they're all enjoying the perfect Christmas as the white man stands out in the cold with a tear in his eye. And you're thinking to yourself, is there a hidden message there? And of course there is. The hidden message is the white man is the bad guy and he's going to be left out in the cold as the white female chooses to marry a black man and procreate with him. And there's the message. And it is so well woven into this advert that some people might not consciously notice it, but subconsciously, your brain knows what it sees. Subconsciously, it's all part of that drip, 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 sending out that anti-white, multicultural message. And it'd be bad enough if just one of these adverts depicted this. But it's not just one. It's all of them. It's like a full frontal assault upon our people. A full frontal assault. From, you know, it's well, not even full frontal, it's from all angles. It's hitting them from every angle. And obviously, if you look into the advertising agencies that make these adverts, the one which made the Tesco advert, and Tesco is now having real problems because there's a huge boycott. Their advert on YouTube has about 3,300 likes, but has 11,500 dislikes. They're on major damage control. I believe the big companies are manipulating the like to dislike ratio. I believe, well, clearly we've seen they're deleting comments, and they're trying to, you know, reel it back now. But in a bad way, they're shaming anyone who doesn't like the advert and calling them racists, you know, saying Christmas is for everyone. Well, Christmas isn't for everyone, just like Ramadan isn't for everyone, just like Diwali isn't for everyone. Christmas is for, you know, our people. It's for Christians. It's something that is uniquely European. It's a mixture of Christianity and Yule. It's a mixture of ancient European cultures and Christianity. It's part of our culture and heritage, but they want to make it for everyone. They want to take it away from us. And then you have idiots making comments. And I actually saw this in one of the major newspapers. It actually said, and this is the quote, it's from the Birmingham Mail, which is Birmingham's our second biggest city, and this is their daily newspaper. And the Birmingham Mail actually said, Christmas has got nothing to do with religion. Nothing to do with religion. And you're just watching this and you're thinking to yourself, this is complete madness. But thankfully, people are waking up and people are boycotting these companies. And I suggest to everyone listening, look for my video. It's called Christmas Adverts Multicultural Propaganda. It's been uploaded about four times, maybe more now, to YouTube by different people who have uploaded it because they're outraged that it's been pulled down. It's now on Minds.com. You can search my account. It's Mark Collett, and that's on Minds.com. They're a free speech platform, and they're wonderful. And all my videos are going to be on there now from now on. And I've uploaded my back catalogue, so they're all on there. And I say to everyone, my videos aren't about me. I'm not precious about them. I enjoy making them and I take pride in making them. But anyone that wants to copy my videos and re-upload them and help spread the message, feel free to do that because it's about getting the message out. And I urge everyone listening today, go look for this podcast that I produce, support the people who have re-uploaded it, and help get this message out. Because the fact they're pulling videos like mine with no decent grounds for pulling them shows just how scared they are of anyone exposing them, and more so of anyone calling for a boycott or calling for the public to stop spending money with these big globalist corporations that are in the hands of the internationalists and that want to push this insidious anti-white agenda.
So getting back to the Cinderella story, that Cinderella advert, I forgot, was that Tesco? Which company was that?
That was Debenhams.
So the black man on the train, now he wasn't wearing a suit and tie. The white woman was... she's very pretty, very pretty. And she looked like she was, you know, dressed for a day in the office. And the black man was not in a suit and tie. He was wearing what would not be considered traditional European clothing. It was something different. I'm not saying it was like some sort of African tribal clothing, but it wasn't really traditional Western clothing. And I think there's an additional subliminal message there. It's don't even bother that these people aren't assimilating to us culturally, you know?
Well, no, and that was also echoed, obviously, in the Tesco Christmas advert where the Muslims are exchanging gifts. You know, you have two Muslims in headscarves entering a house where there's a Muslim woman in a headscarf with a daughter in a headscarf, and they're all hugging each other and exchanging gifts from their Tesco bag for life. It's just so, it's so absurd. You're watching this and you're thinking, whoever put this together, what planet do they live on? Because I found that scene absolutely baffling. And I actually do know people from different communities. I actually have friends who didn't originate in the UK. I obviously speak to a huge number of people because of what I do, and these people make no bones about it. Yeah, we don't. They say to me, "We don't celebrate Christmas, obviously, because we're not from here, you know." But they're obviously now trying to make out that everyone does, and we're one big happy family. And it's just so utterly absurd. And obviously, as you said earlier as well, because it's 2017, the current year, we have to throw in a gay couple with their adopted child, and you're watching this and you're thinking to yourself, they're just literally trying to tick every box. Mm-hmm. This is just a situation where people in these boardrooms, people in these advertising firms who are, you can guess who owns them, they've got this big checklist and they're going down it and they're like, bumbling white people, stupid white people arguing, tick. Muslim family, tick. Multicultural family, tick. Gay dads with son, tick. You know, the only thing they missed out was the transgenders. You know, there wasn't any, there wasn't any trannies this year, but, you know, I'm expecting them in droves next year because, you know, we've got to...
And we'll be talking about that right after the break.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on. And learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on. And learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website. The patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
And welcome back to the show. Those are the smooth sounds of Filbert Applebag. You'll want to check out Filbert Applebag. I'll be talking to him over the coming days. He's got new musical projects. But getting back to the advertisement, I was involved once with an organization that was putting out an ad for something, an ad for a product. And the ad that we put out, it featured a little girl in it. And after the ad was produced, we had a board meeting, and one of the board members, the, you know, basically the minority representative, because all boards have to have a minority membership. And this black gentleman raised the objection that there was not a black person in the ad. Well, there was only one person in the ad. And he said, well, if you want to sell to blacks, you have to have a black person in the ad. Well, frankly, it was a product that was probably not going to sell much to black people anyway. And it kind of gets to what I was mentioning earlier with regards to these insurance commercials. The over 65 population is overwhelmingly white in the first place. And whites are certainly more likely than blacks to purchase supplemental insurance. So the target audience for these advertisements is overwhelmingly white. And yet they force all of these, you know, black and other non-white people into the ads. And so white people are supposed to just expect that. Yet, you know, if there's not people of color, if there's not blacks in the ads, then you have black people who are complaining there's no blacks in the ads. And it's overwhelming. And there's no evidence to show that white people actually don't dislike having these multicultural ads forced down their throats. And getting some boycotts going would be really important, because these ads, they are part of this, like you described, not just frontal, but an all directions assault on us. And, you know, they're this subliminal and insidious, but, you know, advertising industries had a huge role in culture, much bigger than a lot of people realize. You think of how many catchphrases from advertisements become part and parcel of language, you know, whether it's, you know, where's the beef was something from an advertisement 30 years ago. It became part of the lingo of the day. I'm sure other people could think of much better examples. So do you think that there's any chance for boycotts of particular companies, especially when all of the companies are engaging in it? What are the prospects for boycotts of particular companies over their outrageous advertising?
I think there's two points there, Patrick. The first is people don't really understand how pervasive these adverts are. And you made a very good point that these adverts do not just have a huge influence in terms of getting us to go out and buy products, but they are often not just about getting us to buy products, but they are all about getting us to think differently. They're getting us to act in a different manner. For example, let's take a relic of the past now, really, tobacco advertising. Tobacco advertising wasn't just about selling tobacco to people who smoked. It was about creating a generation of smokers. And really, it was about pushing a habit, which I will unashamedly say was a bad habit. It was something that was of huge detriment to the health of those in the West. People who smoked, it affected them. It affected their families. It affected their children. It can have huge health repercussions. It cost them huge amounts of money. But the advertisements by these large tobacco companies, as I said, they weren't just about selling tobacco to people who already smoked. They were about creating smokers. And these adverts that feature such blatant shows of disproportionate multiculturalism or multiracialism, and that's an important point, that they always are disproportionate. These mixed race family gatherings aren't shown in proportion to what they actually are. You know, you don't see an advert by Tesco's with 100 families, and they're flashing through the different families, and there's 90 white families, then there's 3 mixed race families, 3 black families, you know, 3 Muslim families, and you know the remaining family is an Oriental family or something like that. That isn't the case. They don't show them proportionately. They show them massively disproportionately. And just like the tobacco adverts were to create smokers and to create the idea that smoking was cool and that it was desirable, and they did that in subtle ways, so you would see a man in a bar.
And we will get that at right after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And so, Mark, you were in the middle of something about an advertisement featuring people in a bar.
Yeah, you would see sort of a tobacco advert, and you'd see a man in a bar, and he'd be lighting up a cigarette, and a beautiful woman would come over, and she'd be like, what are you smoking? And he'd be like, Marlboro Kings. And the sort of the subtext of the advert was, if you smoke Marlboro Kings, you're going to look like the dignified gent that every woman in the bar is going to walk over to you. So if you're sat in a bar on your own and you spark up your Marlboro Kings, you know, the ladies are going to be flocking and you're not going to spend the night alone. And that's a powerful subtext for an advert. And adverts use these sort of more subliminal messages to influence people. They tell people, this will make you cool, this will make you sexually attractive, this will make you look virile, this will make you look handsome, the women will be all over you. So there you are, and you're going out to buy you some cigarettes, or you've decided you're going to start smoking because of the advert. And what are you going to go for? Marlboro Kings, because the ladies are going to be all over you. And that's a powerful message. And in these adverts that we're talking about today, what's the powerful message? Well, when you see these white women who are with these black males, they've achieved it all. The girl on the Debenhams advert, she's a very well-dressed, very attractive businesswoman. She's got the sparkly silver shoes. And, you know, the love story is that she ends up with a black man. He's the guy that she wants. That's the ultimate desire. Look at the Marks and Spencer's advert. The scene at the end is the perfect family. This white woman, she's living in this beautiful home, and it's the perfect middle class setting, and the children are running around, and it's a beautiful living room and a magnificent Christmas tree, and everything is the perfect, you know, archetype of a middle class successful life. And how has she achieved that? She's achieved that by marrying and procreating with a black man. And just like the subtext of the Marlboro advert was that when you're sat at the bar, you spark up that cigarette and the ladies come flocking. Well, the subtext of these adverts on British television this Christmas is that if you are a white woman, success and happiness comes to you when you date a non-white man. That is the subtext. It was the same with the eBay advert. You've got this quirky woman. She's not unattractive, but she is quite quirky, a bit different looking, and she's shopping for her Christmas decorations. Obviously on eBay, she's using a smartphone. She's swiping away. She's dressing this tree. It's not a traditional Christmas tree. It's not green. It doesn't look like a tree. It's pink, in fact. And what color is the star that's going on top? What color is the star? Well, it's black. And you're thinking, a black star on top of a pink tree? That's a little bit odd, isn't it? And then, you know, up flashes a message, and then she jumps in the air and shouts ta-da, and she reveals, you know, not only her perfectly dressed quirky Christmas tree, but also the black partner that she's revealing it to. And then up flashes the end slate, fill your cart with color. Well, that sounds like a sexual innuendo to me. Fill your cart. Your cart with color? Well, I know they call it your shopping cart on eBay, but I've never heard anyone say that they want to fill their shopping cart with color. In fact, people say lots of things. Oh, I filled my shopping cart with Christmas goodies. I filled my shopping cart with presents. Maybe even I filled my shopping cart with Christmas cheer. But no one says they filled their shopping cart with color. It just sounds like an absolute euphemism for a woman filling something with something of color. And to me, that's a blatant innuendo, but it goes hand in hand with all the other adverts which are pushing this subtext, this insidious message, this subliminal message that women are happier, white women are happier when they are with non-white men. And as we know, the reason this message is insidious is because not only does it push white genocide, not only does it push the breeding out of white people, but it also pushes a lie. Because mixed race marriages in the US are 60% more likely to end in divorce than marriages between white men and white women.
Yeah. And, you know, 60%, like a lot of the time we're talking about crime and, you know, black man is or black is five times more likely to kill a white person than a white person or something like that. And we're talking about five times. We're talking about 20. And so 60%, that doesn't sound like that much. But the thing is, half of all marriages in the United States end in divorce anyway.
And so if it's 60% higher, that would mean probably 80% of these mixed race marriages would wind up in a breakup. That's extremely high. And of course, so many of the women who are going to have mixed race children aren't going to be married in the first place. I wanted to just harp back a little bit on the impact, the really strong impact that these TV commercials can have on people. You know, you were mentioning this fill your basket with color, and I think because a catchphrase is a little bit creepy, has some innuendo, probably makes it that much easier to remember. There's probably really deep imprinting, and I think back, you were mentioning about tobacco advertisements. We haven't had tobacco advertisement in the United States since 1970. And I was a kid back then, and yet I remember the catchphrases. I remember, you know, I'll walk a mile for a camel, or Territon smokers would rather fight than switch. Or, you know, Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. And the Marlboro Man. They're very deeply imprinted, and yet I haven't seen these commercials for almost half a century. Saturday Night Live, which is a comedy show, must have been close to 20 years ago. They had a mock advertisement on, and it was for a chewing gum that freshens your breath. And they were saying, "Oh yeah, we've prepared this for a NASCAR race commercial." And of course, NASCAR is notoriously popular in the South among white people. And the TV advertisement they showed, it featured one of the cast members, Tim Meadows, and he left the cast in 2002, so it had to be before that. Tim Meadows was walking out of the door of his home, and then his white wife said, "Oh, you forgot something," and he comes back, and then he gets a kiss. And the kiss goes on and on and on. And they're showing it to the NASCAR focus group, which was very, very uncomfortable with it. But the reason I'm bringing it up is that, you know, 15 or 20 years ago, the thought of selling something to white people through, the depiction of interracial couples was a non-starter. It was something that was seen as ridiculous and therefore worthy of a comedy show. And yet I saw an advertisement for what was the not just a dating website, a Christian dating website or a Christian family website. And on its advertisement, they showed a black man with his white woman and the mixed race kids. And it has become so pushed because there's really not much of it. And then of course, not only do these mixed race marriages end up in divorce so often, if you are a white woman in your 20s in a relationship with a black man, the leading cause of death is the black man. It's either violence or disease from the black man. In fact, if you are a black woman in your 20s, the leading cause of death is a black man. And yet, not only is it pushed in the media, but for a father to bring up these facts to his daughter would be considered completely racist and unacceptable. We can't warn of the danger, and yet we've got this being pushed on us. So, your thoughts?
Well, no, I think the important thing to remember about adverts is they are so successful because they are repeated so often. And when you repeat these things again and again and again, it's like a drip on a stone. Over time, it does start to have an effect. It breaks into people's minds. And the subliminal parts of the advert have a huge effect. And most people will notice them, but only subliminally. Like, we will notice them, you know, totally consciously, and we'll be able to pick them out. But subconsciously, a lot of people will notice them. They'll have an effect without the people even noticing. Because these advertisers are experts in putting these messages into adverts. And something we were discussing in the break, we all remember jingles from adverts. How many times are you in your car listening to the radio and you'll hear an advert which has got a catchy jingle, and you'll hear it a couple of times and you'll end up finding yourself walking down the street humming away to yourself this little jingle. You'll just be humming away and you'll be like, oh, that's that song off the advert. And it'll have just got in your head. And people now, and this is a really scary thing, this is just shows how far we've fallen. In the UK, I don't know if it's the same in the US, but we've almost made a cult around these Christmas adverts. And they're a massive thing. All the newspapers report on them. People discuss them. The newspapers actually tell you when the first airing of these Christmas adverts will be. And they'll say, the first airing of the new John Lewis Christmas advert will be at the first ad break in X Factor on Sunday night. And people actually tune in to watch the Christmas adverts and then go to Twitter, go to Facebook to discuss them. I mean, what kind of insane world do we live in where people tune in to watch an advert? And you even see people writing crap on Facebook, like, it's not Christmas until the John Lewis advert's out, as if Christmas can only truly begin when you're being thoroughly bombarded by large corporations and their attempts to make you cross their thresholds to spend your hard-earned money on tat that they peddled to you at Christmas. And these, I know people that work for these companies, and these companies are ripping you off. The markup on these products that are selling is just incredible. I know somebody who works in retail, and they informed me that these shops can often mark their products down by over 70% and still make a profit on them. They are making huge amounts of money out of you, and their adverts are brainwashing you. So believe me, boycotting these big high street firms, you are doing yourself a huge, huge favor.
So, you know, we've talked about boycotts in the past, and boycotts could be extremely effective. Now, of course, there's so much, so many potential targets, and, you know, that's one of the problems. And we have reason to boycott all sorts of firms that go far beyond their advertisement. You know, you have, I was thinking, here's Apple, Apple Computer, for instance. They had a black woman who was their chief diversity officer. I don't know if she was a considered a vice president or what. The black woman is their chief diversity officer, who simply said, well, you know, white people can be diverse too. White people can bring forth a diversity of ideas. And she's been fired for that. Even a black person has been fired for saying that that whites can be diverse. And, you know, there's, and why should companies have diversity officers in the first place? You know, what is the point of that?
I'll tell you what the point is, Patrick. This is the most insidious thing, and this is what really annoys me. And it shows we are not living in a world where the liberals want to create equality of opportunity. We are living in a world where they want to create equality of outcome, which is completely different. And the way I explain this to normies is I say to them, equality of opportunity could be seen as a good thing. For example, equality of opportunity says that every child is allowed to run in the race at school. Every kid's allowed to run in the race. And that's fair. Every kid can enroll and run in the race. But equality of outcome is completely different. That states that every child must win. That every child can not only just run in the race, but every child must win. So when everyone enrolls to run in the race, that's fair. You know, we can all take part in the cross country, but inevitably some children will cross the finish line after 20, 30 minutes, and some children will cross the finish line after maybe 45 minutes or 50 minutes, because there are always winners and losers. And the push for equality in the workplace isn't a push for equality of opportunity, because we already have equality of opportunity.
anyone can now apply for a job. And you don't have to put your race on your CV. You don't have to state anything about yourself. You don't even have to put your age on your CV. You just have to put where you live, your name, and your qualifications. So we have equality of opportunity, but they want to force equality of outcome, which is insidious, because that means that for every 10 people employed in a firm, there has to be three white people, three mm-hmm. black people, two Latinos, and two Orientals. Mm-hmm. But that means that in achieving that equality of outcome, it can almost be a necessity that the best qualified don't end up with a job. Mm-hmm. It becomes almost a situation where, well, we have to employ three black people to ensure equality of outcome. Thus, this guy here, who mm-hmm. he might be a Latino, actually, he might be an Oriental, he might be white, is amazingly well qualified and would do this job really well. But the fact is, this black guy has happened to apply, and as only three black guys have applied for the job, all three have to get the job, despite mm-hmm. the fact that this guy here, he happens to be black, he's got no qualifications, he can't do the job, he's just come out of prison. He's not going to be a good employee, but he's applied, and we have to hire him. And we have to turn down this highly talented white guy or Oriental guy who's massively qualified, has got a family, who's never been in prison, but we have to fill this diversity yeah. quota. And so equality of outcome is absolutely insidious and destructive and destroys the workplace yeah. and actually harms firms that actually buy into it.
You see this in the universities, in the acceptance in the universities, and I'm sure it's the same in corporations. And it's worse than that for white people in prestigious positions, because Jews will be count themselves as white, and through their ethnic networking and tribal preferences, they get the positions. They crowd out the whites from even the proportional representation that they might otherwise have. And so you have the Ivy League schools with whites forming less than.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? a voice of truth in a sea of lies, do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks.
National Beacon Radio with Patrick Slattery, and I'm talking today with Mark Dankoff. Mark Collette. And so just before the break, I was mentioning Harvard, for example, or Ivy League schools, for example, where they have effective quotas for black or Hispanic admissions. So they have these quotas that they fill through affirmative action, because blacks in particular, very few of them would actually meet the admission requirements if it was merit-based. And so that tends to exclude, that tends to crowd out some whites. But also, and this is a big deal, you have, because you have Jews with tribal loyalty who have taken over administration of the schools and are very important in the admission committees, you have a great deal of Jewish preferences. So you have less qualified Jews. You have highly qualified Jews, but you also have less qualified Jews who are admitted, and they're crowding out whites from this quota, the quota that whites would otherwise have. Now, whites in America are still probably should be somewhat overrepresented relative to their population if it was strictly merit-based. But even if it's going to be proportional to their population, when you have Jews taking up 25 or even 30% of the overall student body, it means that the Jews are probably taking up a majority of the what would be the white quota, because they can just say, oh, well, we're white. And then there's no room left for the actual whites. So this has been a huge problem for us here. And, you know, as a result, you get – and so you wind up with many very unqualified blacks. And I'm just going to have one last thing I want to say before I kick it back over to you. There was a black professor, I think he's from Ghana, or his family is from Ghana, and he was on Tucker Carlson last week saying that he's teaching his mixed race children not to trust white people, that white people can't be friends. And, you know, he's a professor at Yeshiva University, a very Jewish school, but one of our listeners contacted me and had done some research on him and says that, you know, he never wrote for like the law review in his university. He never clerked for a judge, and doesn't even have the requirements that typically would be favored for hiring a law professor, other than having gone to, you know, a prestigious school. And of course, he got into the prestigious school almost certainly through these affirmative actions. So these preferences of these equality of outcome really winds up not being equality of outcome. It is just another way of attacking whites, or, you know, native Britons in your country. Do you have any final thoughts on that, Mark?
Yeah, one thing that gets me with the equality of outcome is it's also never actually equal. So if you have a society where you might have, I don't know, as a percentage, you might be 80% whites and 20% non-whites. When they set up this equality of outcome program, they don't set it up to actually be equal. They don't say, well, actually, we need to employ 8 whites for every 2 non-whites. They will always then over-represent the non-whites within those institutions, which actually displaces our people.
It certainly does. Well, thank you so much for coming on again, and we'll certainly look forward to having you back on next Monday. And Till then, stay tuned for great programs from RBN, and then tomorrow we'll be back with another exciting episode of National Legal Opinion.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcast.